It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Two Wisconsin natives recently launched a podcast that celebrates being gay in a smaller community. Here's how episodes begin.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Small Town Big Gays. We are the aforementioned gays who are too big for how small of a town this is. I'm Chance.
And I'm Travis.
That is Chance Smith and Travis Gorell, hosts of Small Town Big Gays, who join us now. Chance and Travis, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Chance, let's start with you. The podcast really aims to give a look at queer life from a smaller community perspective. What do you hope people will learn about this perspective compared to a big city?
We get a lot of perspective from New York City or bigger, you know, East Coast cities. And then we get a lot of perspective from places like LA or Seattle. But there are queer people, there are LGBTQ plus people everywhere in between in the country. And things are just different here in you know, smaller town Wisconsin than they maybe are in Los Angeles, where things have been a little more accepting of LGBT people for a lot longer than they have here. So hopefully people just kind of get the perspective that, you know, we're people too, we're in your community, we're here, we're hanging out, and we like to have fun, I guess.
It's a journey, Travis, and it's really cool to be able to get some insights on this journey. What does it feel like for you to launch this podcast in a smaller community?
Like, I grew up in the, you know, millennial generation of having technology kind of come a little bit later in my life. So I feel like I have an interesting perspective of what it was like to grow up as a queer person before and after technology really kind of took off. So yeah, it's just kind of fun to share my stories and experiences of what it was like growing up in a smaller area in Wisconsin.
Can you share more about technology and what has changed for you personally?
In my home, we didn't even have the internet till I was a senior in high school. So I had very limited access to kind of resources and understanding. So it was very much just having to figure things out on my own through experience. And then also just like after I came out and then started doing drag here in Wisconsin as well, it was still very limited resources as far as even like YouTube videos and, you know, like the TikToks and things like that, that people just have access to so much information now, where before you had to really seek it out and seek out relationships and seek out people and places to find that stuff.
Travis, and you're a well-known local drag performer in Chloe Wold. Can you introduce us to Chloe?
So I've been doing drag here in the Chippewa Valley and beyond for the past 16 years. And yeah, it's like when I started, we just had one monthly show at our local queer bar here in town, and which was lovely and great. I always enjoyed just having that one experience, but I knew I always wanted more for that and for our town. So yeah, now we have two regular monthly shows going. We have several large quarterly events happening. We have drag bingo multiple times a month. Yeah, just tons of different experiences and opportunities. So drag has really been a great tool for me to grow my own confidence and experience as a queer person, and have been able to develop a lot of relationships.
It makes me wonder, Chance, Eau Claire being a college town, how much does that affect quality of life for LGBTQ people in the community?
I think college towns do overall tend to be more accepting of people from more diverse backgrounds and walks of life. I think because they have to be, because there's a large gathering of young people, and young people are all on this journey of discovering themselves and finding out who they are really in life. And so I think, yeah, I think it makes this town in particular very accepting and very open to new ideas and different people.
We're talking about a new podcast out of Eau Claire, and it's called Small Town Big Gays. Chance Smith talking there, Travis Gorell, they are the hosts of this podcast. Going back to some of the topics you take on, Travis, in the episodes, both of you talk openly about yourselves, about your coming of age, sex, relationships. I wonder, is it difficult to open up and be honest behind the mic? And how has that openness, you know, changed within you and perhaps your audience? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I think in general, I just tend to be an oversharer, which is probably why I'm perfect for podcasting. So, and just like through doing drag, learning to host events and just like talk to people and the different things that I've been involved in. One of the biggest things I learned through doing drag is when I first started out, there were so many performers that I really looked up to, especially here in the Chippewa Valley. And I thought like, oh my gosh, these people are so beautiful. They're so perfect. Like their life must just be like so great. And then like, I realized that they struggled and dealt with the same insecurities and the same things that I was dealing with. So it really like opened my eyes to just understanding that people are all going through experiences just in a different way. And so that just really opened me up to being more open with people. And through that, I think that's why my career in drag and my career in general have just really been able to expand, because I just have this openness and understanding that at the end of the day, we're all dealing with insecurities. We're all dealing with struggles. So just opening up and talking about it has always just kind of helped me heal through a lot of it too. And it's been really awesome to hear others kind of relating or understanding. It's also really funny. So I host bingo events here in the Chippewa Valley. And I always get like this, some groups of some older women, straight women in the community, and they're always wanting me to be spicier. So I think vicariously living through those experiences as well is kind of fun. So
amping up the spice. You know, Chance, I was drawn to the two of you discussing, you know, when you knew as a kid, when you knew you were gay. And I'm wondering how this opening up behind the mic has affected you and the stories that you tell.
Well, one thing I'm realizing, it's making me remember a lot of stuff from my childhood that I had kind of forgotten about. So we're unpacking some trauma on the mic, that's for sure. Hmm. But it's been great. It's very healthy to, you know, go back and kind of think about things, you know, what it was like as a queer kid growing up, especially in a smaller town than I'm currently living in, and kind of those different things that you deal with both internally and externally in a community like that. And I think that is one of the things that the podcast is great for, is letting people know, you know, your experiences in a smaller town as a queer person, they're valid. It's weird. It's embarrassing. It's cringy, but you know, ultimately it's what made us who we are now. And you just gotta embrace it.
Travis, you grew up in a religious household. You call yourself a missionary kid. And in the first episode, coming out to your family and what that was like for you, can you tell us about your experience?
Yeah, so I did grow up fairly religious, but a lot of it was my own choice. It wasn't my parents' decision to put that on me by any means. So I had a really great experience with religion growing up, thankfully. But I mean, it did definitely alter my coming out and all of that in its own way. Thankfully, my family is really lovely and very open and supportive and understanding. So I do tend to be a little bit of a different case sometimes, where I did have a good experience with religion overall, but it definitely did in some ways hold me back from coming out a lot earlier than I did.
Chance, there's this recent episode, it's called Local Icons, and highlighting role models here in Wisconsin. You talk about having someone to look up to in a small town is rare. How has that shaped your life as a gay man in a small town and having role models?
Queer people, especially when you're young, you look for that kind of person, whether, you know, it back in the day it was Cher for a lot of people, or, you know, some pop icon who you see yourself in, or you see you see what your life, you know, maybe what you kind of want your life to be like, you know, fabulous and living openly and doing whatever you want and, you know, really experiencing life the way you want to. And I do think a lot of younger queer people, especially in small towns, don't have that. I mean, I didn't really have a gay role model when I was a child. I didn't really have a gay role model of any sort. And I think that is really important to find at some point in your life. Like, I kind of found it later in my life, people to look up to as far as examples of people who they live their life, they're living it openly, they're living proud, and they're just unafraid and unashamed of who they are as a queer person. And I found that later in life. I hope other people find that sooner in life, but I think it's really important for people to find that, and then they themselves can start making steps to living their life authentically, mm-hmm. and then they can be that person for another, you know, another generation of queer youth.
Who fits into that definition for you? Who do you look up to, if I may ask?
One of the big ones would be my husband, Tom. He has been incredibly important to my growth as like a queer person. Honestly, Travis, I said this on the Local Icons episode of the podcast, but Travis is one of my role models as like a very authentic, out loud queer person. Again, does so much for our community, like such a beacon of what we should all aspire to be, even if you are in a small town. And I can't see Travis right now, but I do hope he's tearing up.
Travis, go ahead.
Do you want me to make like a crying sound bit for you right yeah. now? So it's your...
Right, exactly.
yeah, for me, it was like, I guess I didn't have like necessarily queer icons growing up, but I was a very queer centric child. And the fact of like, I loved watching figure skating. I loved watching powerful women in movies. And then what really inspired me growing up was my grandmother. And she was like the most important person in my life. And she was just like, emulated beauty and grace, and not only like physical beauty, but just like as a beautiful person who was just very open, always made me feel comfortable, was always my safe space. I unfortunately never was able to actually like come out and share my experience of queer life with her or doing drag. She passed just before all that had happened, which was like kind of the catalyst that really pushed me into living my true authentic life, because I was just like, well, life is short. I need to like make this happen while I can. So for me, it was always just like being inspired by powerful women around me in a male dominated world. Mm. Yeah. And then as I like came out as queer, I started meeting other people in the community who just lived authentically as themselves. And I took from their example and just like I always do, I want to push everything to the max that I can, and have just wanted to be that example for other people too.
Mm, thank you for that. I'm the one now tearing up. Travis, do you feel like this could go on for some time?
Well, as long as people keep listening and are interested, we will talk. I feel like every time we get ready to film, I'm like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I feel like I've told them everything about my life. And then we start talking about something, I'm like, oh my gosh, I still have so many more tragic stories to share about my life. So
I'm sorry. And that's what I wonder too, like, how much do you plan in advance of each episode what you will talk about?
You know, we have like a shared note, which is really honestly shocking that I can get into it and figure out how to work that. But we do.
I'm very proud of you.
We do have like some sort of general outline ready to go. But honestly, like this week, I just sat on the couch and pretended that I had something ready to go and did not. But it happened to be a really great episode. So I think I've had so much lived experience in a moderately short life. Well, in gay years, I'm quite old, but I just feel like, yeah, there's just so much to talk about.
you can definitely feel the trust and the friendship and the bond between the two of you. And I think that's what also comes through, Chance, in the podcast.
Well, then I'm glad that the facade is working because I can't stand him.
Oh, well.
No, I think we both look forward to doing it every week. And honestly, you know, whether people listen or not, I think it's going to keep going for a while just because we enjoy doing it.
Well, Chance and Travis, all the best to you. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
That is Chance Smith and Travis Gorrell. They are the hosts of a new podcast. It's called Small Town Big Gays. You're listening to its theme song created by TYB, a gay hip-hop artist from Eau Claire.